Blog Talk Radio.
Tell my baby make it hot. Ride the cop till you get the spot. Tell my baby make it hot.
Doing it doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee. And welcome to yet another attempt to communicate over the Blog Talk airwaves. It's Wednesday. It's 9. It must be Naked Soma time. I just hear a yip. That's the fastest yip I've heard.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the uploads that I put in to make sure that they're here, and I think most of them are.
All right, I got the TV on mute, and Jim Carrey's wearing a funny looking Horton Hears a Who thing on the on.
Somebody's
Idol
calling in. Do we know where our guest is from?
What do I know? I'm just here.
I don't know either.
Let's see. That's got to be him.
That's the fastest rodeo I've ever heard. 901 punctuality on the Blogstein. He is. Well, we can we're going to do a little bit of the news here. I don't know. That must be him.
Or it's not.
Well, find out. Put him on.
All right.
He's going to sit still for the news anyway.
All right. There you go.
All right. Is that you, Blogstein?
Yeah, that's me.
Hello. Right.
Hello.
Hello.
Punctuality.
That's my middle name.
Well, okay.
Really, it is.
Well, it's 9 o'clock somewhere. Really, your middle name is Punctuality?
Yeah. It is.
I'll go there. So nothing happening this week, huh? Pretty dry week, politically speaking.
Yeah.
Really nothing going on. In case you've slid off the planet, New York now is led by a blind black man.
That's right.
And we're all happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He inherited the office today because our buddy Mr. Spitzer has gotten the old wet towel.
Mm-hmm.
And has been
you
spanked.
Filthy criminals.
That's right. I got a lot to say about this. I'm trying to just get my breath, back to kind of calm again. Because in case you don't know, we have a little sister blog that comes off this site called BlogSoma.net that I ranted on this afternoon about this domain speaking. So you can go over there and check it out.
Yeah, you should definitely read that one. It was really good.
Yeah, it was in a one of those peak moods where things kind of came out lucidly.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just a lot of stuff going on. Our Zeitgeist movie actually hits the streets this weekend, which has been an internet phenom for about 6 months. I think it was Jeb that first sent me that email.
Yep, it was Jeb.
Yeah, the old little Philo got the message and spread it around. I wanted to get to some of these questions before we got to hanging with the Blogsteiner there for a minute. His eco client Nicole has completed, I think, the entire 30-day emotional makeover thing that we did, and she had a couple of questions coming out of the other end there. So I'm just going to toss them out at you, and then we'll get Blogstein into the flow here. The ones that she asked a bunch of questions, but the one that fit me kind of like what is it, the kind of like my eco eyes just run right to it, is this, and this comes up so much, what type of person, I'm going to do my typical audience voice, what type of person would be suitable as a life partner for me, not considering specific details, of course, what kind of person is capable of understanding and meshing with my eco quirks?
Mm-hmm.
And just going around the horn here, you got three other seats in the movie theater. First of all, the incestuous somatic relationship is a difficult one because it comes down to complex stuff like secondary domains and interfaces and all kinds of weird goomby stuff. But you're initially going to be attracted like attracts like in the beginning because it's similar. It's like, oh, look at me over there. And there's less friction. There's more of a natural kind of grouping goes on. But you need that difference to make useful friction long term. So from the eco chair, you look across the aisle and you see the Philos, and they're kinesthetic like you, but they're more on the surface than you. So it's like being in the dark, to pick yourself in a club, and you just bump into someone, and you go, smells good, feels good. And it's sort of that kinesthetic, like hand in glove, so to speak, kind of an attraction. Then the lights go on, and that's when you get to see, show him what he's won, Gene. So that's sort of what happens with Eco Philo. There has to be a common vision, or what they call agape, in order for that relationship to really have any chance to sustain itself past the initial physical attraction. When you go onto, you've said it a lot, the orientation is more internal because the onto is looking in their head at pictures in their head, and the eco is listening to feelings in their gut. So this is a little bit of those, the monkeys with the see no evil, hear no evil. So you get a little bit of rule maker, rule breaker, as I say, and you need that exo kickstand, that external system that's going to sort of interpret these two different maps. So I always say, if you get an onto and eco together, you need a bartender, a priest, or a lawyer, to get along.
Okay, so, bend over.
Exactly. And then finally, we have your situation, Professor Val, the eco exo situation. And that is not bad, not great. It's sort of like the Three Little Pigs, the one that is just right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a coexistence to it because one is more interested in the kinesthetic internals, one's more interested in the visual externals. So they're sort of, one's the sentry and up there watching over like the security camera, the other one's baking a cake. So they sort of have sort of like the volleyball players. One's close to the net, one's back. So they don't get in each other's way. What happens over time, of course, is, that initial feeling of, wow, he's giving me so much space, so much room. Is he still there?
Yep.
And you have to have more of a tendency to philo together so you have some kind of common bond. So, in your case, it's pets, things
That's
like
right.
that.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's your answer to that one. And we might throw a couple more out as we migrate through the hour. But we got Blogstein here, Mr. Blog Talk Radio himself.
That's right.
So, first of all, Mr. Guest, could you please tell us your real name, and then we'll get into your more successful phony name.
My real name? Dr. Blogstein.
Yes.
What's more real than that?
All right. No, don't tell us. All right. You're over there in Jersey, which is fate enough for us. I just spent about 5 hours there on Sunday in Rahway, and I'm convinced the state was built in the dark. And the roads were basically assembled like a Scrabble game because hour and 45 minutes to go 30 miles. I can't explain. What part of Jersey in?
Hoboken, birthplace of baseball and Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
Hoboken, yeah. I got beat up there when I was about 20 years old. Fubar. Hoboken, yes. Jersey City, another place not to get lost after dark. So, let's get some background here because probably no one knows on our side of the coin much about your show if they've ventured over to Naked Soma much. So you've been on the web since the beginning, since it was just you and the Russians, or how long you been surfing?
I was I guess I was an early adapter. Right after Al Gore invented it, I jumped on.
he called you and. He called Blogstein.
Yes, I was part of the focus group.
Oof,
that's right. He was part of the first news group. Yeah. Well, it used to take like 10 minutes to get on the web. The 14.4 modem, little gerbils running around.
I was checking my weather on Prodigy.
That's right. Oh, now he's dating himself with the Prodigy web.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Where I met Rick.
On Prodigy?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Typical XO dating service, the Prodigy. Oh, my God. I remember that first email I sent, like the first fax I sent. You send it, and you call the guy. Did you get it?
Yep.
Which defeats the purpose. So, so you got on Blog Talk right when it was come out of the womb, or?
I got it when it was 6 months old.
Oh, okay. When it was teething. Okay.
Yeah.
When did we get in there?
I don't know. I think we started like around May, right?
Yeah, it was like May. When did they start?
Blog Talk started after you?
Blog Talk started a couple months before that. They started like beginning of last year, I think.
Blog Talk started August of 06.
Of 06, okay. Yeah,
right.
We got in May of 07, so we were in almost a year. We have, that they started. And you got in last summer, I guess.
No, I've been on since February of
last year. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're coming on to almost a year. We just had your year anniversary.
We had our year anniversary a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
It was a big celebration.
We've got to go back and listen to the archives. See if
you have to, Dr. Mark and Professor Val.
Well, I learned a lot about being in your chat. You've got an elaborate setup. You ever gone to Blogstein Show is on Tuesdays at 9, sometimes for an hour and a half, sometimes for an hour and 20 minutes, whenever he gets sick of talking, it just kind of stops. And it's got, you know, multimedia set up with the chat room and the video thing going, and everybody's talking different directions. It's a little bit like walking into a college cafeteria, and you just wander around, and conversations sort of intertwine. And with this situation last night, you had somebody on that, I think, what, lived in the building where all the action was going on?
It was my dad. My parents live in the building where the... where
get
the,
out of here.
Yeah, my parents live in the same building where two ringleaders of this whole prostitution situation that Elliot Spitzer's tied up in, where they live.
Oh, my God.
So they wouldn't they be able to put a name to a face, that kind of thing? That might be
they've ridden up the elevator with this couple. They've seen him in the garage. I mean, it was a very creepy-looking couple in the sense that he is a older Israeli man. He's 62, but apparently looks older than that. Mm. He wears a bad toupee and wrinkled clothing. And she is a hot 23-year-old with curly black hair.
Hmm.
So it was a mismatch, and they couldn't tell whether he's, you know, they always played the date, the game, date or daughter. Is it the date or is it the daughter?
Could have been granddaughter. Ugh.
It could have been.
So this is something that they were sort of aware of? Was there any scum?
No, they weren't. No, they didn't know what they were up to. They just knew that they were an odd couple.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to get interesting, to say the least, from here on, so we'll have to see where this goes.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
Yeah. So your show is sort of organic in the sense that... did we lose them?
No.
Oh, they are. Okay. Well, you know from being a Blog Talk Radio veteran that the switchboard is fickle.
Yes.
Sometimes the entire board is fickle.
Yep.
But the gist of what I'm getting, and believe me, I'm toe deep in this story because it's icky, is that there's more to what they found out than what they've told the public yet. I mean, the $80,000 that he spent, notwithstanding. But I guess that the stroke of 10, to coin a phrase, the Fox News is going to have the Christie, the Christie is going to come out from behind the shadows now and
really?
Speak. And,
really? Yeah. They found Christie? She's going to be on Fox News?
At 10 o'clock, yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow. Who got that big get? Greta Van Susteren?
No, this looks like the local Fox people here dug her out from under a rock. So, if you're going to find some real scuttlebutt, it's going to be Fox. I mean, they're all over this. This is the ultimate red meat prize.
I thought it would take a lot longer to get this Kristen to come out. You're saying Channel 5 got her first?
They just did a promo after that great show, The Moment of Truth, which caused me to squirm so much in my chair that I had to flee to the bathroom at 10 to 9 to handle all the eco goo that was surging through me as I watched this poor guy bury himself to win 100 grand. Great show. Great concept. Let's just completely. They've already done everything else. I mean, after Fear Factor and the show they used to drop the hacksaw in front of the guy's face and see if his heart rate would change. You know, they've pretty much done everything to humiliate people for money. And meanwhile, of course, you know, we're all still wallowing in our own debt here. But this show's great. I mean, you can't get past The Moment of Truth without it's like a train wreck for an hour. And then of course it leads right into Idol, which you know that nourishes the nation.
Yeah.
So your show is pop culture oriented, yet you tend toward the retro with a lot of the TV stuff and a lot of your guests. And you had an aside last night about the arrest of the old Marianne from Dawn Wells from Gilligan's Island.
We didn't talk about that last night.
Yeah, it was idly mentioned towards the end there. You mentioned the mugshot, a couple things.
No. It was another mugshot. Unless it was going on in the chat room, I don't look at that.
Yeah, it probably was more chat room oriented. There was like a brief mention on the air. But this is the kind of thing
there wasn't mention on the air.
I think I heard it, but anyway. This,
are you telling me that you know my show better than me?
I had ears. I heard something.
I am willing to bet you anything that Marianne was not.
We will. Our crack staff will go and play the last 20 minutes of the show and see if I can find it. But that's when it came up in the chat room. Anyway, the point is,
they do their own show in that chat room.
Yeah, pretty much. I noticed it was like independent
place.
Of the topic being discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know. I think there's a chat room on our show, but nobody's in there. But if you can go over there, at, we'd rather you call us here and get on with Blockstein here at 646-478-4847. The point about the whole Mary Ann thing is that this whole kind of issue of public versus private persona has gotten really blurred lately because of the paparazzi and everything else. And of course, the tendency of the people that are in the public eye to sort of let the cameras come in vis-a-vis Ozzy and people like that, or recently with Hulk Hogan, whose marriage ended in a train wreck. You know, I think he banged one of his daughter's friends or something like that, and who knows. Do you find interviewing these people, especially some of the retro stars that you get back from, you know, they've been on TV like 10, 15 years ago, that their sort of departure from the public eye has been more painful than when they were actually in it and being, you know, scrutinized? Or do you think it's sort of like person to person, it varies?
It varies person to person, but I get what you're saying, and I do agree with you in that I would think in the majority of cases, they hate the paparazzi until they're gone, and then they wonder what happened.
Mm-hmm. With that,
it's a real love-hate relationship, and it's all based on their ego. You know, they want to be big enough to be chased by cameramen, but they don't want to be chased by cameramen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's sort of an oxymoron in a sense. Like the whole demise. I want to get your spin on the whole thing that happened with Clemens. We talked about it at the top of the year there, when it was kind of spinning down that first 6 weeks of the year, when he was like every day something was happening. He was somewhere from some rooftop going, I never did nothing. And as he just, like the Wicked Witch, just kept melting down. What was your perception of that, you know, from the Blockstein, Tower of Power over there? If you're him, if you're Clemens, would you have played it that way, gone the whole 60 minutes route and everything?
Well, here's the thing. When people are accused of something like steroids, if they're innocent and they don't come out swinging,
right,
the media is quick to say, oh, that means they must have done it.
Yeah, no comment doesn't work anymore.
Right. So here's a case where he's coming out swinging, and still the media is saying, well, I think he's lying.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. Now, I'm not saying he didn't do it, because I'm in the camp that I think he's lying. All you have to do is look at his giant head to know that he's on steroids, or the fact that he threw a shard bat at Mike Piazza and claimed he thought it was the ball.
Yeah,
that
right there, and if you ever go on YouTube and see the interview with Jim Gray after the game when he's still frothing at the mouth 6 hours later, he was taken, you know, out of the game. Or it was hilarious how he was still frenetic. He was still having his roid rage at like midnight, and the thing happened at 8 o'clock at night. And his explanation was not questioned. It was like, you thought it was what, and you did what?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say he thought it was the ball.
Throw it to first.
Why
base.
Are you throwing a ball at Mike Piazza? That's not the game.
Throw it to first base. I don't understand that. And
exactly.
If you knew it was the bat, why didn't you just walk over and give it to the bat boy? Why did you wing it at his legs?
Right.
Isn't it a fact that you hated Mike Piazza because he had batted like 400 of you that year and you couldn't stand him? Isn't that the truth? I felt like, you know, Newman from, Questioning Kramer. He wanted to be a banker. And it was like it was like so obvious. And then the thing that was so funny about that whole hearing that went on was that little thread of the sweater of the conversation that McNamee had with David Cohn at the back of the plane about the owners telling, you know, the players, hey, just make it sound like the steroids aren't really helping you, and we'll back you. So the owners knew. I knew that the coaches and the managers and all the administrators knew, because it's in the scouting reports. Well, Laduca's on the roids, he's going to hit for doubles. That was in the trade reports. They all knew. So it was one of those things where, okay, we have millionaires on steroids entertaining the masses on alcohol. That's baseball. I mean, that's America. Next question. And why are we being so hypocritical and so sort of Pollyannish? That thing happens in politics. Let's see. A politician gets corrupt with power and sleeps with expensive hooas. Next. I mean, none of this is surprising to me, being eco. I don't have this sort of like pristine impression of humanity that
no.
Everybody's out there behaving.
No, but you don't have that expectation. But
we just want to hear about it again. It's one of those things you don't want to look in the mirror.
Yeah, but you
kind of icky.
It's something you should. It is something that ultimately you should at least strive for. You should strive. You should not lose faith to the point where it's just going to be accepted that baseball players cheat and politicians screw around and are corrupt.
Well,
it's the reality. But it doesn't always have to be the case, and I think we should still hold out hope and try to make it so. It is not the case.
Mm.
Well, again, like I said, it's one of those things where the exception proves the rule. Show me the guy that didn't, you know, and you're gonna see the exception. You're not gonna see the guy. Like, look what they've done to Obama in the last week or so. A week and a half ago, he was a pussy, you know, because he wouldn't fight back with Hillary and with the 3 a.m. thing, and then. Inside, on the inside track, it's like these events are all competing. You had the Ferraro thing, you had the ad attacks that went on over the weekend, you had the Saturday Night Live stuff with Hillary, and then you had this big thing with Spitzer just go by like a freight train. And now, you know, Ferraro's left Hillary's camp, and Hillary's losing all kinds of fun, you know, all kinds of things are flying off the bus there. And Obama is still sitting there going, yeah, it's a real advantage for me to be a black guy named Obama running for president. Yeah, I planned it that way. It's an advantage for me. I really think of that as like an asset. I'm a black guy with a name Hussein in the middle. That's my advantage, my secret weapon, you freaking morons. And he's sort of unflappable. They want him to get hysterical. They want him to do the, you know, the frothing at the mouth Clemens thing.
He'll never do it.
And he's an exo. It's so funny. Every time he gets in those debates with Hillary, you know, we have one of the clips up on our new Naked Summon Nation, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Of him just saying, you know, yeah, you're likable enough, Hillary, and just keep scribbling his notes.
That was so good.
It was the best. You know, who do you make of that the public thinks that Obama's more likable than you, Hillary? And she goes on a rant for like a minute and a half, and he goes, hey, you're likable enough.
Yeah, Obama, it's funny watching him in the debates. He just seems so bored.
Right.
Doodling on his pad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
I wish we could see what he's writing. He's like, you know, doing.
You know, they all write stuff during these debates. What are they writing? I think they just want to look smart. They just write things.
I think it's just a way to sort of passively aggressively say, I don't care what you're saying. I'm just going to sit here and just, you know, I'm going to doodle your name or something like that. I wish we could just have like another camera. You know, like what was Bush writing in the debates with Kerry? My God.
The alphabet.
Yeah, exactly.
he was
being slaughtered in one of those debates, and he was scribbling madly at one point. I think he was pleading for help. You know. but again, America's that is kind of funny. We always side with the dumb guy. We always side with the one that's, you know, one of these things is not like the others. We have to vote for the moron because the moron doesn't make us feel inferior. The smart guy, I don't know if we want to be run by smart guys. You know, they don't get in trouble. The people you're talking about, these idealistic, we were much happier with Clinton, Bill, because hey, look at him. He was the party guy, you know, and it was okay because it was Bill, and we did the same thing with Bush. This whole threshold of wouldn't you want to have a beer with him? This is the president. I got friends. I don't need to party with the president. It's very strange.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. Now, here's a guy that played aggressive like Clemens, but look what happened to him. I remember watching that whole cascade of things during the impeachment hearings and stuff, and his whole demeanor was so defiant and so purposely, almost like cartoonishly lying, and yet he's still there. He never got. You know, it was the strangest thing in the world. But that's an eco thing, and maybe, you know, by being able to see through some of these behaviors and know why they would choose that tact over another, it's sort of like an advantage in a way. You kind of can see things like a chess move ahead. But when it comes to now, you're 10 years later or so, and the country's kind of gotten used to this whole. Okay, deny, revise, deny, admit, say you're sorry, go to rehab, talk to Oprah, talk to Barbara, bada-bing, you're back in the circuit. I mean, Marv Albert, nice guy, right? Biting, chomping on his baby. I don't know how long ago it was. It's never mentioned. Wearing the dresses, the whole thing, the singing the show tunes. it was like we didn't want to know that Marv Albert, the guy that's talking about the game, was doing stuff that maybe would not be popular in most biker circles.
I'm surprised
we didn't want to know this.
Call me for therapy, like the other guy in his diaper.
Exactly. There you go.
Oh, God.
So we want to get to this zeitgeist thing because apparently it was a nerve on your show. That you have seen the film?
Oh yeah, I've seen the film.
Okay. Now breaking it down. See, we're not just conspiracy theorists over here. We actually know all the crap. So Professor Bao, being a card-carrying pagan, is aware of how the Judeo-Christian tradition has stolen just about every holiday that there is from the pagans.
No, that was the only plausible part of that movie.
The
religion part.
Yeah. Now this was a contention that your partner there, Dangerous Lee, had an issue with.
Oh no. She stood behind the whole entire thing. I found the 9/11 inside job part ridiculous.
Now, did you see the loose change 9/11?
I saw that one too, and that was. I mean, they did a better job at putting forth the evidence, but again, their main sources were Wikipedia and a janitor in the World Trade Center.
Mm. So your theory of 9/11 is it was Bin Laden?
Yeah.
Okay. And the buildings fell down because they fell down?
The building,
gravity?
Yeah.
A plane hit them and they fell down?
Well,
they pancaked the building?
You didn't see the planes hit those buildings?
Oh, I wasn't there. I was on TV like everybody else. But the evidence of that was, it's almost as if you buy that, the story that we were told, and you buy the Warren Commission for Kennedy, and then, you know, the thing that the Zeitgeist movie really got through to me was that self-similarity works, because every single time, it's almost like, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me four times in 50 years, I'm a moron. So every war has a precipitating event. The orchestration, the whole thing about the Fed, did you buy that?
The whole thing about what?
About the Federal Reserve, with the money.
Now I've seen it a while ago, so I have to think back. There was stuff that was taken out of context. The stuff with the Bushes, was it the Bushes in the bank? I'm trying to remember.
That's a minor detail.
No. If you twist it, they made their points by twisting and turning those minor details that you could say, oh, minor details.
I'm not going to argue about the Bushes. I'm just saying the existence of the Federal Reserve, why it came to power, how it influenced the economy. Do you remember that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. And then how that weaved into the way that we got into different wars, and we used basically that as an excuse to get the jingoistic thing, the element of waving a flag and a Bible every single time America was threatened, and then basically having sort of a double standard where, you know, we can say we'll include this group but not that group every single time, so that basically the people, the masses, always had an enemy to be afraid of.
Well, I got my pad here. Let me get my notes from when I was arguing this with Dangerous Lee.
All right, then.
Now we know what people are doodling.
Yeah, that's right. He's got his notes.
Handy.
Hey, we're about to get Aronto on here with Blockstein here, so it's...
Yeah, exactly. We're about to get Aronto something. But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, this means war.
That's right,
Bugs. So it's your contention that that
mine
our government.
Yeah, whatever that means. Yeah,
the American. Well, that's what I'm about to ask you.
Yeah.
That our government, the United States government, and the George Bush administration was behind what happened on September 11th.
No, they're a puppet show. They're basically key investors in a small part of the sideshow. What Zeitgeist was pointing out was what we perceive to be leadership, what we perceive to be basically the structure of society, is just like in the old movie Blazing Saddles. It's not Rock Ridge. It's a bunch. It's a facade. And what's behind it, and what's around it, and what's underneath it, is what we're not perceiving because we're too busy chasing our tails. I mean, I know you're probably not a great fan of the Michael Moore movie Sicko, but he does point out a pretty stark truth. If you take the vote away from nobody votes. If you take the vote away from the people that don't have the money, what do they have? They just have time and basically explain Ohio to me. Explain how you could take away all their jobs, and then they'll go and vote for Hillary a couple weeks ago, whose husband took away all their jobs 10 years ago. This whole thing of voting selflessly or voting against your self-interest, this sacrifice thing that's gotten into the core of an American psyche, especially since 9/11, where everything's been about, you know, you're not patriotic, you do this. But this sort of psychoanalytic inhibitor thing that goes on because everyone is afraid. Everyone's afraid of the stick out. Ferraro said something the other day. You agreed with it. About Obama.
I didn't agree with what
you said.
I still haven't heard what she said. What I agree with is
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are voting for Obama to feel good about themselves, to prove to themselves that they are not racist.
So he has no substance. Everything is about the feel good.
There's very little substance there. He's a fantastic speaker. He's
okay.
Motivational. He's a wonderful orator, but he hasn't really said much, and he hasn't really done much.
Right. Okay. So your contention is that if he was a white guy, say he was, you know, Huckabee or someone like that, just another guy running, who had that money behind him and all that stuff, that he would never have rose to power this way, this fast, you know, just a kind of a junior senator, and just, he would have been basically, you know, hello, goodbye, and he would have been out in the early rounds. Or maybe he wouldn't have gotten to this point because he wouldn't have gotten the backing to even get on the ballot. So her contention was, if he was a white guy or a woman of any color, his charisma wouldn't have been enough. And you're saying that people are responding to charisma because he's black, because it's almost a counterintuitive way of being socially acceptable.
I'm not saying that either. It's the charisma why he's voting for them. It's the charisma that makes him viable. It's the fact that he's black that people are voting for him. In other words, if it was Al Sharpton running for president, people aren't going to make themselves feel good by voting for Al Sharpton. He is, as Bill Maher likes to call him, America's black friend.
Okay, so then he has gotten some level of rapport, and like you're saying, it's because he doesn't buy into the game. He doesn't get into screaming matches. He doesn't respond to the mudslinging. He doesn't seem to go negative, as they say, as quickly and as easily as, say, well, I don't know, Hillary does.
Yeah,
well. Yeah, and Hillary, who almost intentionally goes ferocious to prove that she's a tough broad, like she has to at this point. Thesaurus that she is. Every single time she's at death's door with her campaign, she cries. So if she does some other kind of one of her 17 other personalities comes out. I mean, we got clips of her talking in a southern drawl, talking. She's amazing. She's almost like Madonna with the voices. She could change.
Well,
her
I mean,
accent.
Look what the. I mean, look what this whole thing is. They're going after a job, the job of president. It is one 18-month-long job interview. And what do you do in a job interview? You BS your way through it.
Uh-huh.
And then you hope you get it.
That's phony.
Exactly. All it is a job interview, and it's 18 months long, and it's on television, and you get to confront the people that you're going after this job with, and that's what you're watching.
So we're basically looking at the phoniness that is scaled down to the 22-year-old trying to get their entry-level job at Citibank.
Absolutely.
So we're all a pack of phonies, one nation under a phony flag with phony money and phony gods. Okay, we have our Philo here.
Hi, Jeb.
Hello.
Now, you shot me the link for the Zeitgeist thing just to paper trace this thing. You were the original, you were the sender, right?
I was.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, now, fill us in here because Blockstein's memory is a little patchy. What did they implicate the Bushes about in terms of that whole...
I can tell you. I can tell you because I found it. I found it. That Bush.
I've got to tell you because she can't. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
George W. Bush's grandfather.
Yes.
Was in cahoots with the Nazis.
That was around the time of the Depression.
Right. Now the truth is, the
Prescott Bush.
Prescott. Yes, Prescott Bush was in cahoots with the Nazis. Now the board that Prescott Bush served with Fritz Thyssen, I believe his name is Fritz Thyssen.
Mm-hmm.
Fritz Thyssen, the Nazis owned 1% of that bank, 1% only.
Right.
And as soon as Fritz Thyssen saw what the Nazis were up to, made them sell that share, that percentage.
What year was that?
1938.
Okay, so the crash was in 29. So 38, he got conscious of this?
No, about the Nazis.
The Nazis weren't rising to power. So, okay.
Right.
So
as soon as this guy Fritz found out, so Bush was never in cahoots.
But wouldn't that be self-serving?
Wouldn't what be self-serving?
To sell that stock. I'm just saying, I'm not around 1938 to feel the social pressures, but if someone had any Nazi tie to anything in America, that would be like a bad thing to have at that point.
So you're blaming them for doing the right thing?
No, I'm just saying he acted in his self-interest.
Okay, but yes, but they never said that in the movie. They never disclosed that it was just 1%, and they got rid of them before 1938. They never disclosed that in Zeitgeist. They left you to believe that Bush and the Nazis were tied together.
Well, what about Bush and the Saudis?
And that's not what I'm talking about.
I'm just saying the family has a history of being pretty internationally aware of where the flow is. So this generation of Bushes is in with the Saudis. I'm just saying they seem to play their aces pretty well, that family. The Kennedys are no different. They're all power-hungry morons. But again, talking about them, and they're talking about, like, I don't know, your parents living in the building with the whole scandals going on with the Spitzes there. I mean, it's a fractal. It's on a smaller scale. We're all surrounded by corruption and deception and phoniness that we just accept and buy into. And I'm saying, why don't we just admit the whole damn thing is just Disney World? It's just a big fantasy. And the reality is, what the stuff you see at the bottom of the well, which is the stuff that Sicko was showing, where the guy had to decide which finger to cut off, put back on, you know, because he didn't have health care. I mean, all those things are real. The other stuff, you can fight to the end of time. No one's going to admit the truth because the truth is really kind of incidental. It doesn't really matter. The common lie is that most of the world is struggling to cope with the choices that these other guys are making. Zeitgeist, I mean, the religion thing, you understand, the pagan thing, right? That
the religion, one, yeah, please, look, I mean, the religion.
That one you don't mind?
I, of course not. It seems plausible. I don't know all that about those particular religions. It makes sense. I think all religions started in the same place, and it was a game of telephone that got spread around the world. Everybody practices differently. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That I can buy. What I cannot buy is that the George Bush called for the tearing down of the towers and put the explosives there and set up these terrorists to fly the planes into it. Because, and anyone who says that, I asked you this question, what are you doing here? If I thought my government was capable of something that heinous, I would get the hell out of this country. I'd move to Canada, Mexico, or Australia.
Like, there's a difference? Where are you going to go where it's safe? If this is supposedly the best, any step out is one step down.
Well, if what you're saying is true, this is not the best.
I'm saying that...
If you're saying that my government
murdered
3,000 of my fellow citizens, that is not the best, and I'm moving to Australia.
What are they doing in Katrina? Did they come down with a big riverboat and start singing When the Saints Come Marching In, get those people out of there? Or do they pretend to not know the storm was coming for 4 days? Brownie's doing a good job. Bush's incompetence, we could do 3 hours on that.
Okay, so Bush is incompetent, and how the hell did he organize September 11th?
He didn't. I told you, he's a puppet show. He's an investor.
So when it fits your argument, he's incompetent, and when it doesn't, someone else is doing it for him.
I never accuse Bush. I know the movie doesn't even accuse them. The movie just implicates them as part of a huge, of a bigger bubble. But basically, the whole thing, the mechanism, the actual physics of what happened. Where's the plane in Pennsylvania? Ooh, we don't know about that. Well, what happened about the missile that hit the freaking Pentagon? Oh, we don't know about that either. All I'm saying is, just like before, when we were talking to Clemens after the game, why doesn't, what's his name, Gray, say to him, what kind of crap are you handing me here, Clemens?
If it Popular was Mechanics was that follow-up question. Popular Mechanics, the bunked entire loose change movie.
There's always another gadfly. What would it take to prove to you that what happened that day was not all that it is made to be? Is there any hole in any of that story? The whole 9/11 Commission, is there any hole? You accept everything they said as the God's honest truth. They told us everything. the government told us everything, like they always do.
No, I don't. No, I'm sure there's that. I'm sure maybe they had more inkling that it could happen before then. I just don't think that we were responsible or we let it happen.
That's going the next step to saying that the government is sitting there saying, we got 300 million people, we're just going to bop 3,000 of them off the planet.
Well, that's kind of what you're saying.
I'm saying that they orchestrate the media event around it to say, let's get a whole photo op, just like Clinton did. Clinton did the same thing. There was photo op at the photo op after Lewinsky.
So what you're saying is it happened, and we just looked for a way to capitalize on it? In other words, we did not make it happen?
No. What's happened in the last 20 years, and especially in the Internet era, which you would be more privy to than me, is that bad news travels fast. Bad news travels real fast when you have an Internet. And so how did Lewinsky happen? Well, there was a guy, Drudge, doing his thing, right? No, not everybody was on the web back in 97, but people got on the web once Drudge starts talking about, you know, icky stains on dresses. We're attracted to dirt. We're attracted to rumor. We're attracted to scandal. We're attracted to conspiracy. What do you think was on the web back then? A bunch of pagans, Val's crowd, a bunch of neocons who were plotting Clinton's death, and people like that that were spreading rumors, lies, innuendos, and dirt. Now, Yahoo has a little section called, oh, my God, OMG, which is devoted to rumors. You've got the Gawker. I saw this guy over there, that guy over there. We're obsessed with what is misinformation. Wikipedia is devoted to it. So it doesn't matter what you believe to be true. I'm saying the common lie is there's more human suffering on a massive scale that's going unregulated because we're totally, totally unable to tell truth from fiction. At any given moment, everything has a backstory, everything has another slant, and while you're chasing that slant, someone else is sticking out a fondue fork in your butt, and that's what's happening. That's why Obama seems to be a little different than the rest of them, and that's why he's getting support. It doesn't have anything to do, actually, despite his color and his name and all the other crap they've thrown at him. Swiftbo took out Kerry. This guy's got 3 medals, and Swiftbo took him out. That's hysterical that guy with that background could ever be taken out by a bunch of angry veterans. But they got the machine going. They started to do it. Clinton started to do it in South Carolina with Obama. It's the same thing that took McCain out when he was running against Bush, who now embraces him. We have created a mindset, like I said, that shadow personality, public versus private, where there's a swinging door. And that's why you can never get enough of this evidence and stuff. You can never get the paint to dry because someone puts another coat on it 5 seconds later.
Well, then how do you know the truth? What do you see?
Truth. I'm not even interested in the truth. The truth is basically, to me, it's whatever the bullshit I believe to keep me sane at any given moment. It's the common lie, the one that affects the most of us, that I get upset about. And when it comes to things like 9/11 and Katrina and things that happen in healthcare, things that happen in education, things that affect real people who are out there trying to drive the speed limit, trying to pay their mortgage, trying to not get screwed by every single system that's out there that's corrupt and basically there to trip you up, the Bloombergs of the world, for example. All of these guys, the whole structure of it, I mean, we had Carl and clips going a couple weeks ago. Did you see Carlin's special this month?
Yeah.
On HBO?
I did.
Okay. To me, that was the Sermon on the Mount, what he was saying. Don't believe for a minute that these guys have your best interest at heart. They are taking advantage of vulnerabilities that have been set up that you will plead and call and beg them to take away more. And that's what Zeitgeist was saying. They sell your religion, you buy it at an early age, just like cigarettes, you get hooked on it, and then you cannot do anything else but defend it, even when it is totally working against you. Another guy today shot up 3 people. The mother threw herself and 2 kids off a bridge. Do you think this is sane? Every other day people are flipping out. You know, and we're upset about what? About some governor ordering some hooers when he went to Washington. I could give a rat's ass. In fact, send him 3 more. Maybe he'll do a good job the next day. I could care less. Lenny Dykstra was on HBO Real Sports the other day, denying he did steroids. Are you kidding me? He's Popeye the Sailor Man. But that idiot savant's making $55 million selling his car washes. It's a circus. It's exhausting to follow these stories because they literally have, Howard Stern's whole career is on the never-ending discussion of what's true or not true. His whole career. And he knows people are going to come back and fight him because they're invested in it. It's that ontoism. It's rampant ontoism. It's like that thing I just saw. God, I get the flashback. It was blatant, whatever that thing with Kramer says. Blatant anti-dentite. Or something, whatever. So it's that sentiment, that this belief system thing that goes on, that is the zeitgeist. My beliefs are better than your beliefs. And that's why we're having this ideological battle that goes across color, gender, all that stuff. And that's why I say your show is sort of like spinning the pot as fast as it can spin, and you seem to have an acumen. You seem to be able to calm the head, cool heads prevail on your show. Not always on ours, but, you know, I'm curious how you're able to stay, not objective, I can't say that, sort of stable in that whirlwind. How do you do it? How do you follow these things all over the place? Do you form an opinion and back it up, or do you just keep things circulating?
I form an opinion and back it up.
Okay.
And I stand by opinion, by my opinion, until my mind changes.
Okay.
But I'm not stubborn. I could be wrong.
That sounds like my wife.
I think the dumbest thing is not. I mean, is when they turn flip flopping into a bad thing. Flip flopping, okay. Flip flopping is a bad thing. You know, flip flopping. You flip and then you flop. But changing your mind isn't a bad thing. And they're making it synonymous, and it's not synonymous. Flip-flopping is one day this, next day that. But if you change, and then back to this, the following day. You follow?
Yeah, basically, you only have enough evidence to back up the words that are coming out of your mouth right now. If I learn something new tomorrow, I'm free to change my mind.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, that's a good thing.
And what shows like Meet the Press does, it says, here on October 14th, you said this, and now you say that.
I love that. I love when Tim Russert does that.
Oh, it's great. If people are staring at me, I said that? Oh, crap. And then something different happened. It's like Hillary's thing with the war. You know, she gets to go all over the map because she gets to change her opinion every time something external happens because her position was, whatever was, basically riding high at the time, and she backed her argument at the time, and when the evidence shifted around or that point of view became less than optimal, she would move to the center. You know, and unlike a guy like McCain, you can't figure out what a stick because he's always partying with the Democrats for all kinds of, you know, McCain-Feingold, but then he's all hawkish about the war. Who could figure that guy out? He's all over the map. And Obama, who didn't have a vote, you know, he wasn't there when they voted for going to war. He had an opinion, like you. He had an opinion at the time, and he never changed it. He said, I'm not for this thing. So it's almost as if the non-voter, or the one that doesn't declare earlier, the one that just lets more stuff go on, it has a higher moral ground than someone who makes opinions and then revises them. The one that changes his mind is looked at as being shaky, and the one who doesn't make an opinion is looked at as being sort of, they got good judgment. It's the most bizarre phenomenon in the world. That's because things are happening faster than you can react to them because they're constantly poking you for an opinion.
Right.
I mean, last weekend, right? This thing with the Devil Rays and the Yankees, right? This guy breaks his the two guys go out at home play. One guy breaks his wrist. 3 days of everyone screaming and yelling, wow, you can't do that in exhibition season. Then what happens today? Big brawl down there with the Devil Rays and the Yankees. Were the Yankees right to go back at them because it was an exhibition? That was just an exhibition? No. This is the theater that everyone wants. This is the stuff like I was talking about. Give them violent games. Give them their TV sets and their Bluetooth, and they'll leave us alone. We're so easily distracted. It's like slugs to beer. When the real stuff, not Spitzer, not these other guys, when the real stuff is the stuff that was in my office today when I'm dealing with a kid that's trying to get transferred to the school she's supposed to go to, but the system in Connecticut won't let her do it because she's not sick enough. Got to be sicker. It's backwards, man. That's all I'm saying. And being a card-carrying author as you are, and you have a lot of passion, and I love that on the show, is how do you build an audience that is loyal not to your opinion but to the topic, to the, in a sense, the zeitgeist? How do you build that crowd around that? You call yourself Radio Jesus.
I am Radio Jesus.
Yeah, I shot up doing that. We got a clip of that. That's going to be on the board next week. Cool. We got a Blogstein special. Thanks for that. Now, how do you build that sort of persona based on either your opinions of the current events or on the fact that so many people are interested in these things? Are you going more on you, or are you going more on the audience's almost unquenchable thirst for more of this stuff?
That's a tough one. I don't
know.
Hey,
that's the way I roll.
That is a tough question. It must be the topics and the guests. I can't imagine people caring what I think.
Okay, Limbaugh would say it's him.
Well, of course. He's not modest. I think it's me, and I say otherwise.
All right, then. So then we'll, until further proof, we'll figure that that's your stance. Oh, wow. Holy cow. All right, I'm drunk. So just to wrap up this whole, and this was a fast show, my God, I'm dizzy. What do you think is the most common misperception about the Dr. Blockstein Radio Happy Hour?
The common misperception, I don't know if there even are any misperceptions. I don't know what the perception of it is.
They think it's news? They think it's opinion? What do you think it is?
Is it
more Jon Stewart, or is it more MSNBC?
It's neither of either. What it really is, and what it's meant to be, is just what it is. Radio Happy Hour. It's Happy Hour on the radio. And like you mentioned before, what'd you say? You walk into a cafeteria and you talk to this person, and there's something going on right here, something going on over there. We weave, we bob. It's just a conversation. It's meant for people who have no friends. We will be your friends for 1 hour a week. Sometimes
the,
1 hour and 10 minutes. Sometimes 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's Radio Happy Hour. You come in, you have fun. We laugh. We make you think. Sometimes we even teach you something.
Yeah, all that can happen. Believe me, and it does. I've been a guest. I've been a listener, and now I've been an interviewer. So I've gotten the three sides of the coin. So I thank you for joining us. I think it's you do a wonderful service. Blog Talk Radio is enjoying you to the hilt, and I wish you much success on the air. And thanks for mixing it up here on Naked Soma with us. And
it is my pleasure. Is Professor Val there?
I passed away.
Yeah, she.
You know what? When there's too much frenetic crap, he's tough enough. And with you and him, I'm just shutting the F up.
Yeah, we it's pretty much me and you, and the rest of the audience just went ahead and got a beer.
No, I mean, people tell me that I'm bad and I don't let Dangerous Lee speak enough. You're far worse.
Well, when I want to talk, I do.
Yeah, her shows come up, like we have Pagans on, things like that, and I shut up, or they start talking about vaginas.
Or we talk about sex, and then he shuts up.
Yeah, vaginas and all kinds of penis surgeries, and I just disappear for that. I'll go, I am for a while, but But this definitely was a throwdown. The Zeitgeist movie does come out this weekend. Again, the truth is stranger than fiction. Remember that, folks. So we've gotten a lot of juice, a lot of man juice on the mirror here, so we'll leave it there. So thanks, Blockstein, for joining us. Hopefully we can return the favor and gnip-gnop on your show sometime this summer, and maybe when the election gets closer, we'll come back and see what the Zeitgeist has said about the Zeitgeist.
Oh, a lot of fun.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Been a pleasure. Pleasure. Pleasure.
See ya.
Yep. Take care, man.
Wait, I have to play this real quick. Hold on.
All right.
And I'm trying to get Jeb on here.
Fucking da 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 da.
Okay, now I keep pressing on the button. Jeb, are you here?
Yeah.
All right, good. I have such a freaking headache between the two of you MFers.
Ah!
Holy
shit! That was a saucy hour.
You are killing me. Oh.
I can't.
You can't make it up.
Yeah. All right, in case you couldn't taste it from that little exchange I have with old Blockstein, Onto Week is upon us. The Ides of March begin the Onto Week this weekend as Zeitgeist hits the theaters, by the way, zeitgeistmovie.com. And since we are getting ready for a seasonal change on the 20th, which happens the day after our next show, the S is hitting the fan. We are coming out of the XO, baby, and into the Philo. So suspicion gives way to vulnerability as the full moon rises. So we are coming the last full moon of the winter. And this is such a cluster F. The last full moon of the winter, combining with a seasonal change. We just had a time change. Basically, if you can find your butt with two hands by the time we talk next Wednesday, you're doing good. The only ones who are unscathed by this, of course, of the XOs,
mm-hmm.
who don't really care. But the other three domains, I'll see you in my emails. So let's go to Dr. Jeb with his tip of the week.
The silence overwhelms us.
Play his thing.
Poor
Deb.
Wait,
my thing.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to find the freaking thing. I'm still. Oh, I'm still in
right,
some
fuck
sort
it.
Of.
Fuck
wait.
It. Okay. Did you see? Okay, Yahoo News. I just got a pulled up story off of Reuters. Rain fitness seen as hot industry of the future. Well, we've been fucking telling you that for how long now? So I'm gonna be fitzy on you tonight because that fucking guy.
Bueller. Bueller.
Okay. So.
Bueller.
Sorry, don't.
He's sick.
You better hit that. That's
my best
long.
Friend's just,
Okay, go.
So brain fitness. We've been talking about simples for it seems like forever. So real simple. This week, all you're gonna do, you don't even have to do simples. Just fucking walk, cross crawl. Just get on the ground and crawl. Do something different. Stand on your left foot and brush your teeth with your left hand. Sit at a different place at the table. Do something to please change it up. Make your brain do something other than the same fucking thing that it's been doing. I'm sorry.
Cool, okay, we're a different color hair. That's all.
Yeah, just...
I'm up a brunette.
Right.
Indeed. Right.
Listen to the happy
Neurobics.
Hour.
Neurobics.com, that's the site for that, right?
The radio happy hour. Neurobics.com, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and watch the Zeitgeist movie and listen to the repeat of this show.
Oh, yeah.
That'll make you scrambled. Synesthesia on crack. Okay, Val, give us a quote so we can all go throw up.
All right. Well, I had another quote in mind, but it just doesn't fit anymore. So here's one from Laverne and Shirley. This is Lenny. Remember, this is your hell. Please keep it clean.
There's no words. I mean, I'm just exhausted.
Yeah,
I
am too.
What would you have said to Weinstein had you been able to stay on the air and fire away at this guy? The contradictions were high. It was cloudy over there.
Over here, over there.
So I was hearing from him. It was. He restarted his story, you know, a couple of times. I was trying to get it straight, but I couldn't.
You know what? I didn't even hear enough to even come up with a story. There wasn't anything. There was nothing for me to say. You know, my first response was the Philo got. I got to curl up under the couch and go in a fetal position. And then the next one was I got to kill this fucking person before somebody else gets hurt. Because this is a threat to like the health of my children. This is like that's about it. It was going to be, you know,
he's harmless.
He's harmless.
He should have heard last night get yelled at by his co-host. It was pretty funny, but he's absolutely harmless. It's just so funny how every time I asked him what his argument was, it was a different argument, and I was trying to get to a solid part of the cheese, and it just got more and more toasted. But anyway, it was what it was. And I'm glad he was there. He was a perfect antidote to a really rough day. And
yeah, well,
you know what? It was very entertaining, and it was really. I took myself out of it because I just wasn't in a position to be entertained.
Well, he has that sort of effect on people. All right,
yeah.
So I guess next week we get back to more banter. And who's the guest next week? Top of your head.
My head does not have a top right now. I'm sorry. Let me.
Who is it? Come on. It's the 19th. I thought it was somebody cool.
Yeah, I'm looking. No, wait a minute. Stupid computer. You know? Ugh. All right, hold on.
So till next week, take a walk on the wild side.
Here,
yeah, exactly.
Here we go.
Who's it? Who's it?
Wait a minute. Oh, son of a bitch. You know?
All right, well, look on Sunday. It'll be up there, but it'll be somebody other than Blogstein.
Well, yeah, and you know what? While you guys are out there still listening to us,
not that
Blog
Steam was bad. I kind of like them.
Go
get them
to
on next week.
SomaSpace.org. We redid the website.
Yeah, go check that out.
SomaSpace.org. And we want your feedback. And you need to go over to our networking site, our social network, which you can get to from the original site, the SomaSpace.net site. Okay, and who's
Naked
on?
Naked Nomination. Who's on next week?
Hold on, I'm almost there now.
We've got a minute.
Yeah, here it goes. You know, we should end the show with Brother George's tirade.
Maybe.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, I think we should. Okay, upcoming segment is... Da-da-da-da-da! All right, it just got eaten. Okay.
You're kidding me.
No,
did all that preamble?
Right, it's, oh, I know who it is.
Who?
It's John Harms.
Oh, great. We're going to go 180 degrees next Wednesday.
He has a theory that he's come up with a battery that never needs recharging or disposal. So we want to hear what that's about.
Yeah, if we make it to the bottom of the hour, we've done good. So tune in next week for a completely different tone of conversation because we get a little heady. So everybody here, just...
drink coffee before you listen.
Yeah. Brace for impact, and we'll be back next week with more fodder here on Naked Selma.
I've got to click on George here.
All right, put him on. For everybody here, travel light through the darkness and enjoy the scintillating tones of an exo having a fit.
All right.
Hey, Mark. I'm fucked. I'm fucked. I'm completely fucked. Hello, Wilma. Allow me to say anything again on my gigabytes of drive at the rental. I'm fucked. I tried to cut the pole in half. It says, I'm fucked. I'm fucked. I'm fucked. This thing is fucking me. I'm tired of being fucked. It's Harvard graphics from now on. I will never touch this piece of shit again. It has done this before. I am tired of it. It's fucking unstable. I can't handle this piece of shit anymore. I don't know what to do. I am fucked. I'm fucked for further than you could possibly smell. Fucking funny, because I haven't got the goddamn thing done all goddamn day. Because I can't sit
if they're going to start
them fucking
dip.
Anyway, I have no idea if
we
even have a talk tomorrow. Goodbye.
God bless us all.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Hello. Hey.